Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Doon and All podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets the foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Kintyre.
Yeah, welcome to the show, the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here, as always. Remember, we are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Simply type in Ocean FM Ireland. Coming up, county player Paddy McGrath joins me for a chat. But first, well, it has been a heartbreaking week for the family, friends and all at Neve Connell GAA Club. The news came through last Saturday that Michael Jack O'Donnell sadly passed away. An iconic figure in Donegal GAA circles and beyond. A wonderful photographer who covered matches the length and breadth of the country. And last Sunday, Austin O'Callaghan spoke with former Neve Connell chairman, Daniel McGeehan.
He was, as you said there, a well-known, and he was a great character. The man covered every corner of this county. He would have covered games. Down the country and your own county, he would have covered Ulster finals, Leinster finals, Munster finals, and Connacht finals. He was that well known, and he was passionate about what he did. As a photographer and as a Gaelic game supporter,
part of the sporting furniture in the county, would it be fair to say?
Yeah, Michael started off. Michael started off at underage, playing with a Glenties Ardrack combination, and I don't know if you know the rivalry that exists.
Oh, I'm constantly reminded about it, let me tell you.
Between those two clubs. But in 1968, both clubs were lacking numbers, and there was an amalgamation put in place at underage. And 1968, and they won quite a few under-16 titles and under-18 titles right up until about 1972. And Michael was part of those teams. He also was very... He played county minor and under-16 as well. And he was also very prominent on vocational teams representing the comprehensive school in Glenties. And then he would have played senior and under 21 for Neve Connell, and he played up, I would say, he was up until his 30s. You know, he was a very talented player, small in stature, but very very elusive and a great reader of the game.
And when you say he was a character, what do you mean by that exactly?
Anybody that knows him, the man, he was not afraid to speak his mind. But he would not fall out with anyone. His comments were legendary. You know, when he was photographing at games, you know, say a county final and or any match, and there were some group of supporters there, he would write a comment on the photograph that would be published in the paper, you know, and I've never heard of anybody coming back to castigate him for anything he ever remarked. There were lines he would not cross. There definitely were lines he would not cross. Yeah. And if I can just go away from football for a wee minute.
Sure.
The Harvest Fair Day in Glenties is a huge day. Well, Michael would spend the whole day on the camera photographing people. Some of them he would share only with the people that he photographed, or the local media would have benefited from it as well. And I mean, there are some legendary photographs that are hung in pubs in Glenties. I'm sure other houses have them as well, you know. So that was, and his eye for detail, as I said, was unbelievable.
Is there any picture now that jumps out in your mind when you think of them?
There is. There's one in particular of two men heading down home after, let's put it this way, after a session. And they're holding hands, and that's in some pub in Glenties, but I can't remember the names of the people. But it's things like that, it's photographs like that that Michael is remembered for. And as of course, is involved with the Donegal team. Huge.
Well, I want to come to that. I mean, you know, he obviously had a love for his beloved Niamh Connell, and I'm sure he had relationships with people like, you know, Leo McLoone, Jim McGuinness. They're from his neck of the woods. But in terms of Donegal and the county team between 92 and 2012, I mean, what did those successes mean to him in your recollection?
Huge. I was just shown a photograph today somewhere after the 92 team, and I think myself and somebody else from Glenties are in it. And, you know, there's tears dripping him, you know, and that's what he was about. He was so proud of that 92 victory. And then to follow that on with his, I mean, Jim McGuinness was born in the same estate as him, or lived beside, they lived beside each other. You know, to have that, he has had a huge association with Jim McGuinness.
Yeah.
And you know, the social media this last day or two is sharing stuff. And you know, when you see grown men cry, that's what it's all about. That's what it meant to him.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely memory to think of. I mean, I'm just interested in you say he had a close relationship with Jim McGuinness. I mean, we know Jim was the boss, end of story. But I'm wondering, was Jim McGuinness the boss when he was having those private conversations with Michael Jack? If as you say, Michael Jack wasn't afraid to share his opinions about what should be done with a particular selection or team.
No doubt Michael would have said to Jim what he thought. No doubt, Jim would be best answer to say that. But like, no, definitely would, and he would speak his mind in a nice way and get on with it, you know.
Yeah. The pitches will be a bit lonelier around the fields of Donegal this summer without him.
They certainly will. And I don't know if you've seen any of the stuff that has been posted up, but from far and wide, I mean, as peers on the photography game have been outstanding in their comments about him. And it's all good, you know. I mean, nobody likes to, you know, nobody nobody would go over a line, and Jim certainly wouldn't go over a line. And these guys know what he was, what he could do and what he couldn't do, you know.
And he was a mate, finally, Daniel, to someone like yourself. I mean, beyond the football, you knew him throughout his lifetime, pretty much.
I remember. No, I'm older than Jim. I'm an older era than Jim. But like, I played a lot of senior football with him. Definitely did. He came into the team very young, and I did play with him. And but that friendship has lasted not alone with me, but with others down the year. And the friendship that he has built up now at local level with young lads, you know, you'll see them down at the pitch, or you know, and if Michael Jack's there, you'll see those children flocking around him. And it's not just to get the photograph taken, let me tell you. They just admire him, you know. And I'm sure if you spoke to the likes of young Leo McAloon or some of them, I mean, they would have looked up to Michael Jack as a person, you know, as a person. And that, I think, is about the best tribute I can pay to him.
It looks, but Kieran Gallagher, can Kieran Gallagher get in the shot? A chance! Oh, another goal for Niamh Connell! Two goals in the space of 3 minutes. The ball to the back of the net. They are causing havoc.
Thompson from the 45. He's outside of his left foot again. Surely he hasn't done it again. Oh, that's incredible. That's an incredible score. That's even better than the last one because he's from a standing start. He's got a man outside him. He's got a man inside him as well. There's a chance of a score here. This would be a great score. That's a brilliant score. There goes the final whistle. It's all over. Niamh Connell from Glenties are into the Ulster Senior Championship final. A 12-9 victory over Clontibret here.
Yeah, as I said at the outset, my fellow clubman Paddy McGrath joins me on this week's show. Well, we heard from former Neve Connell chairman Daniel McGeehan there. He mentioned the word legendary, and that's exactly what Michael Jack O'Donnell was. A very sad week, Paddy, for our neighbouring club, Neve Connell, and all his friends and family.
Yeah, really, really sad news to hear about Michael Jack. He was a great fella and always about the dressing rooms with us, and was us as players, got to know him very well, hey, from him being about the fields and that, like, even club and county. Always a familiar face there, especially if you're away at games and stuff like that, you know. Just even he would always be saying well done to you after the games and stuff like that. But he's going to be sadly missed now, and a huge loss for the Neve Connell club, and huge loss for Donegal in general.
Yeah, he really was an iconic figure, and he was synonymous with Donegal GAA, wasn't he, Paddy? He was just everywhere, like, and he was such a positive character.
Yeah, lovely, lovely man. Like, even, you know, those back in the day, he used to come in and he'd be at training and stuff like that there, you know, and he'd be taking photos, and was us as players then would be looking for photos of him and stuff like that, you know, and he was always brilliant. He'd get you whatever you wanted there. But just again, you know, just to have that familiar face, you know, around the place, like, and just being able to chat to him. And you know, he loved football. He had such a passion for it, like, and yeah, he's going to be sadly missed now, and it was very sad news coming out there on Saturday evening.
Yeah, it certainly was. And you said he loved football. I even think away from the photography, he was such a passionate Neve Connell and Donegal man, and I certainly loved meeting him at games, whether it was in Park Erin or Park Esler or in Ardrah or any club ground around the country. And we offer our sympathy to Michael's family, friends, and all at Neve Connell GAA Club. As Austin rightly said, the GAA grounds in Donegal will be a lot lonelier this summer. Paddy, thanks for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast. I was going to say you are busy with the county team, but you have two young girls there in the house. I would say county training doesn't come remotely close to that.
We could be interrupted at any stage now, like, Paddy, just giving you a heads up. But family life, I suppose that's just where I am at the minute, like, in terms of my stage in life. So now I've got two young daughters, and they keep you busy as well, along with everything else. You know, you're kept on your toes anyway. But now, thankfully, Stephanie, now she does a good job looking after us all, so she does.
We know Stephanie does all the work, Paddy. You don't need to tell us that. Paddy, good to be back.
Good to be back, aye. Very good to be back. You know, it's been a long number of months, you know, waiting on news, first of all, to get back. And of course, we didn't know when that was going to happen. But no, thankfully, at least we're back on the field now, and we're fit to train and do what we do, like. So, no, it's great, great being back. Yeah, great seeing the boys again and that as well. So,
yeah, and how difficult has it been as a county player the last couple of months? And
yeah, it's fairly difficult. Like, you know, with everything being closed as well, and with all the other restrictions, you know, and I suppose you have to try and keep yourself in some shape as well. Like, because suppose you're lying around the house and that, hey, you know, you tend to go to the fridge, or you know, and you could be, you know, there's a lot of goodies now being bought and stuff like that. So. But you have to be well disciplined and stuff like that. But listen, it was difficult not having football, not what you kind of were used to in previous years. Like, you know, you've always been going back early and training in the winter months together, and you know, you always had people there to push you on. But it was completely different this year. You know, we had to just kind of try and do, you know, as much as we could, like, with what we had. Like, you know, you hadn't got the gyms and you hadn't got the football fields, and you know, you're just making do with what you had, which is very difficult. But as I said, thankfully now, you know, that there's in the past, and we've got back, and it's good to have met up with the boys again, and you know, try to push on now, I suppose, like every other team in Ireland.
See, you wintered better than I did, Paddy, and there wasn't too many McDonald's or Supermax in the last couple of months. Listen, how are you on the injury front? 2019, obviously, you had that horrific ACL. You're 32 years of age now. Then, of course, there was that soft tissue injury last year. So, to stop start for you, really, in 2020 as well?
Yeah, very, very much so. Like, coming back from the ACL, like, injury, it was difficult enough. Last year, you know, it was tough. Normally, like, that was the second time I've done it, and it was the previous time as well. You know, I had the same kind of injuries, soft tissue injuries coming back from an injury. So, you know, it's always a difficult year, but I'm hoping that, you know, that's behind me now, like, and that I can just push on. But in terms of the knee and stuff, everything's feeling good, like, so I'm happy with that.
Okay, yeah, and you already alluded to it. In a normal non-COVID world, you exit the championship, you go back to your club, but obviously we've had various lockdowns, and you have had, as a county panel and management, stew over a really tough defeat now for nearly half a year. How challenging has that been?
Yeah, it's always good to put on the boots as soon as you can after a bad defeat. I found that in the past, you know, that was the best way to get over disappointment. But I suppose after the Cavan game, it was just, you know, we went home. There was no even interaction with the boys as much, you know, in terms of going out and, you know, talking about it and stuff like that. Whereas we kind of just had to part ways, like, which was, you know, different. But yeah, look, at you had to think about it, and we all kind of had a good long think about it. It was a bad day at the office. I suppose, you know, we just wanted to try and get back to, you know, football as soon as we could, but that wasn't possible either, like. But yeah, look, at we had plenty of time to reminisce over it and reflect on it. But, you know, fair play to Kevin. Hey, they beat us on the day, and sure, you know, there's nothing more we can say about that, like. But we felt that we just kind of could have got more out of the game.
How do you reflect on the game? What do you think went wrong on the day?
I suppose, like, I mean, once the goal went in at the end, you know, that kind of really killed it. But up until that point, you were always hoping that we would get over the line, you know. Just the goal came so late, and then, you know, we had just a lot to do then, you know, to even claw that back with so little time. Like, there was a number of things, but in fairness to Kevin, you know, they were well up for the game, you know, and, you know, it was just one of those days for us, and it was a great day for Kevin. You know, the goal came at a great stage for them. We would have still been confident enough going into the, you know, final 5 minutes, you know, even though we were, I think, maybe a point down or whatever it was, can't remember. But, you know, once the goal went in, then it was just... That was it. You know, it was always going to be difficult to come back after that. Like,
we heard after, you know, there was a good victory over Tyrone in round one, then came Armagh, and we have national pundits that are talking about Donegal and Dublin, and even at Oisín McConville on my own podcast with Ocean FM, and I was like, well, they have to play Cavan first, and he just says, no, Donegal are Ulster champions, are going to be playing Dublin. How when we see the greatest professional teams that say that they struggle with hype and noise, do you think that played a part, Paddy, subconsciously or otherwise?
I don't think that played a part. No, players and teams, you know, they keep themselves distant from that kind of talk, like, you know. And like any team, you know, every day they go out, they know that they couldn't be beaten, like. And the day that you don't think, or you think that you're going to win the game, is the day that you're going to get beat, like, or, you know, you know catch you on the hop. So I don't think that was part of it. Yeah, look, we were favourites for that game, but we knew that Cavan was a good team. They had a lot of underage success, a lot of young players, a lot of very good players on that Cavan side. So we knew that we had a job to do that day. But just things didn't kind of go for us. You know, a slow start, you know, and then we finally got going. But we never, you know, I suppose, pushed on, like. And, you know, we were that wee bit behind then going into the final, and then the goal came, and it was just too late then after that. But no, I don't think that was part of it, Paddy. Now, I think we were well up for the game, like, and as I say, fair play to Kevin, like.
Yeah, probably it's an easy narrative, isn't it, when you lose, that the hunger wasn't there and that. And just knowing you on a personal level, and obviously you're a microcosm of the entire county squad, that I don't think yous would have been looking at Dublin.
No, we definitely didn't look past Kevin. We knew, like, Ulster final at the end of the day is a massive game, like, no matter who you're playing. And, like, we did, thankfully, we've been in a number of Ulster finals down through the years, and some of them went good and some of them didn't for us, like, so we knew. But for a lot of the players too, those in the panel, you know, that was their first Ulster final, like, and they were going for maybe their first Ulster medal or even second Ulster medal, like, so, you know, it was a big deal to them, like, and the hunger was there. And then you had, you suppose, the boys that have maybe been there for a while, you know, they're knowing that these days are getting short, and, you know, you have to take every day as it comes, like, so. No, like, I mean, we definitely didn't look past Kevin at all, so.
Look, relatively speaking, because there are a lot worse things in the world, but when you totally immerse yourself into something for months and months, and not just GA, but absolutely anything, and then it's taken away in that. How difficult are the big championship? And I have to stress the word relatively speaking here, because, as I said, there are a lot more challenges in life. But just on that, how tough is it, a big championship defeat?
Yeah, it can be. It's difficult. Like, everybody has their own way of, you know, dealing with, I suppose, disappointment. Like, you know, you put in a big effort, and, you know, you do try and go for the results. You know, that's football. You know, you're going to have good days and bad days, and I suppose you have to take the learning in both. There has to be learning and everything. Like, that's the way I would see it anyway. You know, we would have had some bad defeats down through the years, but it was, for me, you know, pulling it on the boots and getting back at it again would be one of the ways that I would probably have gotten over things. But suppose we didn't have that last year, so we had time to reflect on that. But, and then for me, at the minute, suppose when you get home, you know, it's full on. Like, I mean, you don't get a chance maybe to think as much as you had in the past time. Like, but the girls keep you busy and stuff like that. So, look at it. It's difficult, hey, and but you have to take the good with the bad. Like, you know, you're not going to win every day.
The girls aren't too concerned if Paddy McGrath, at the age they are, loses an Ulster final.
No, they just don't care. You know, still have to, you still have to come home and be a dad at the end of the day. So,
yeah, and that's I think first and foremost. Listen, was it Albert Einstein said that time is an illusion? That's a strange concept. It's hard to believe it's 7 years since Donegal were in All-Ireland semi-final. It does just go with the blink of an eye. Does that creep into the minds of the players, do you think, in terms of, well, are we good? Are we? Like, because you can have some wonderful victories like Tyrone last year. Does that creep into the minds of the players then, of this little bit of self-doubt of, are we good enough to get to that last four?
I don't think so. I don't think so, no. I think we know our own ability. I think we know as a team what we're capable of. And, you know, we would see ourselves, you know, fit to beat anybody, like, you know. Yeah, it's been a long time since we were in an All-Ireland semi-final, is right. And I suppose that's something that we need to try and achieve now, and getting back to that. I suppose, again, a few results didn't go our ways down through the years, like, and, you know, you look back and, you know, we were just kind of, suppose, look at them games and see, you know, what learnings could we take out of them, you know, to get over the line. I suppose last year was a great chance to get to the All-Ireland semi-final, you know, as soon as, you know, after the Ulster final, you were there, like, rather than a quarter-final. So it was a good opportunity, hey, which didn't pan out the way we wanted it to. But we would still know our own ability, so we would. And, like, we have a good panel of players there as well, like, that could push on, like, and get us back to them places, you know.
The last couple of years has been very difficult for everybody on the injury front, and everybody, I mean, in Donegal, with a lot of knocks and a lot of long-term injuries and that. But this year just seems a little bit more positive. Kieran Gillespie, Eamon McGee was on a couple of weeks ago, moving quite well, and, well, not on the injury front, Oran McFadden Ferry and Oran Manelis, two Guidor men now back into the fray. So, any word on Kieran Gillespie? I know it's hard to get information out of people these days, but going nicely, is that true?
You don't want to ask Declan them questions, like. No, it's great having, you know, that depth within the team as well. Like, I mean, see the way the games are lining up now, you know, you're going to need that depth. You're going to need a panel of players. Suppose the way the championships run, the way the leagues run, you know, it's important to have a panel and players that you can call on, and that's what suppose Declan has, like, you know. So, but nah, fantastic to have lads back that we hadn't had before, like. And if you want an injury update, just give Declan a wee bell. I'm sure he'll be happy enough to tell you all about that.
This is why every time you see me in Ardra, you cross the road. And I really don't blame you. If I met a clone of me, I would probably cross the road as well. So that's okay. It's just because I'm from a nicer part of Ardra than you. Glengesh is way ahead of the point.
That's so, point,
I think that is, I think that's always annoyed you, lads. Paddy, in every program, any player that we've ever seen in the last 10 or 12 years have always said, when it comes down to the little section at the bottom, the question, hardest trainer, it's Paddy McGrath every time. Mark McHugh said on commentary that when he's with the Fermanagh underage teams, that Paddy McGrath comes up so many times, he says, because you are the person he would refer to a lot in terms of just sheer attitude. What is that? How do you think that transcends to the younger lads in the team? Because now you're one of the older boys.
Maybe all them boys are just feeling sorry for me. And they thought, that we mentioned there in the program. Listen, hey, you know, it's like, you just have to try your best every time you go out and stuff like that, Paddy. You know, training's obviously part of it, like, but, and, you know, suppose any way you can drive on the team, you know, that's probably what you want to do, like, every time you train that. And look at, hey, the underage and the younger lads now, you know, they're a different level, like, you know, especially kind of compared to the conditioning and stuff that we were when we came into the panel and stuff like that, you know, they're big physical men now, like, you know, whereas we had a lot of work to do, we had a lot of gym work to do, probably done no real gymming up until that point, you know, and strength and conditioning probably wasn't a thing back then, like, but it's changed a lot now, and there's a good structure there within the county as well, which is brilliant to see. A lot of work being put into the underage, and, you know, that in fairness to all the people involved in that, you know, it's great to see some structures being put in place that wasn't there previous, you know.
I remember, you know, the way some shirts are really difficult to iron. We were both at the Galway BFM Sports Awards, and I couldn't iron a shirt, and I think you spent about 35 minutes on it, and it was fine, but you kept taking it back.
No, come on. That's an exaggeration.
It took
you 10 minutes to gel your hair, so it did.
That's this week's prize. How long did it take Paddy McGrath to iron a shirt? No, but I think that's just, it symbolizes your own personality, and you were the same in college and that, and you know, you're such a hard worker, just not on the football pitch. And I think that is something that the young lads must really just, and I've often heard it, that they completely look up to you. So it's I still don't forgive you for crossing the street from me in Ardra, though, Paddy.
I'd never cross the street, Paddy.
You certainly would. Listen, this year's championship draw, straight knockout again, same as 2020. Your thoughts on the draw, Newry in the preliminary round against Down?
Yeah, a tough draw for us. And again, you know, we just have to get ourselves right for that game. Be a challenge that we'll look forward to. Down, very good side. They've home advantage as well, like, so we know that's not going to be easy. It's a tough side of the draw as well, like, so we enjoyed the knockout football last year, must say. You know, added that wee bit of bite to it, like, you know, where it was just all or nothing, like, so. But listen, hey, it is what it is, and we just have to get ready for that game, suppose, and give it our all this year now, like.
Paddy, I know how much you value the Ulster Championship, but there's no equality to Ulster. Tony Collins come through 4 games, and I think there's 4 teams now in Ulster in Division 1 this year. It's very difficult, and no fault of their own, certain counties can waltz into the last 4. How do you see that?
Well, you know, I suppose, like, the Ulster, to me anyway, the Ulster Championship is special. Like, you've got a number of teams that actually can, you know, do very well in it, like, you know, and creates that, you know, great competitiveness within it. And there's great rivalry within the Ulster Championship, and it's hard hitting, you know, tough games, like, and suppose you would never want to lose that, like, you know, it's a great competition, and, you know, the medals that we've won through the years, they mean something, like, you know. I suppose if you were winning it every year, handy enough, maybe, you know, I don't know how much it would mean to you, but suppose in any Ulster Championship that we've won in the past, you know, there was always one or two games where it could have went either way, and you know, boys stepped up to the mark, and you remember them times, and you remember the training that went into that, and you remember the journeys that we went on. So it creates that special time, you know, that, you know, we'd talk about and stuff like that. And no, it's definitely, you know, a championship that hard to win, and you know, we really value it, you know, as a championship too. Like,
what about the split season coming in next year? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, listen, I think that's going to be very good. Like, I think it's going to be good for the players coming up. Like, it's kind of a bit late for me at this stage, like, but at least, you know, the club and county thing, you know, can be difficult at times where, you know, club wants players and, you know, county wants players, and they're trying to juggle, and there's star games, and there's a whole heap of different stuff, you know, going on behind the scenes, like. But I think it'll be good, you know, to know when the county's out, when the club's out, and the seasons are what they're going to be like. And there's, you know, it'll be good. I think that'll be a really good thing. So it will, but again, probably teething problems, and they'll just have to work out things and see what works best and assess it and try and improve it then as they go forward. Like, so it's like anything.
Yeah, because the county players are almost the victims in all of this, aren't they? They're treated as the players. And we had Frank McGlynn on here last year, and he said, it's a good thing if you've county players in your club, because they can bring that back to the club when they are available. But it must be very difficult, Paddy, for county players from Malinhead to Mizzenhead, because everybody looks at their own club and say, well, we don't have them. And for me, that spent a lot of time in other counties, living in other counties, it is identical in the 32 counties in Ireland, hurling and football.
It's a lot of football and stuff that they have to juggle with and try and get right. I suppose if you're a county player, you know, you're okay with commitment. And you know, a lot of people ask me and ask us, is do you train all year round, or do you get a break at all and stuff like that? And with a split season now, I mean, that you're training all year round. But sometimes, you know, those county players and that don't mind that commitment, you know, being committed to the club and being committed to the county, you know, because, you know, they're getting something out of it, like, you know. And as you say, bringing that back to the club is great, you know. So, but look, I think the split season is going to be a great thing. And, you know, it'll be great for the club players as well, like, that, you know, they'll have clarity on what the county season is going to be, you know, because they're always asking to, you know, he's playing this weekend, or what's the story, is this a star game, or... Sometimes it worked out good for us. You know, you may be playing against a club there with maybe a county man as well. Like, if you're playing Glenswally and they'd make a Murphy miss and they're missing me here, I was happy enough, like, you know. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, clubs had two and we'd only one, like, you know. So, and we weren't available that weekend. It kind of worked out good enough, but it'll be a bit better split, I'd say.
Yeah, no doubt. And finally, Paddy, because I think we're both going to get interrupted very, very shortly. I'm not sure how longer I'm going to last here with Peppa Pig on, okay? It's coming to the end of the episode. The National League, it's different this year. Donegal start off in Healy Park in Omagh, and of course then there's Monaghan and Armagh. Competing theories surrounding the National League in how it's going to be treated. Your thoughts on that? Do you think it'll be as competitive as other years?
Yeah, I think it is. It's probably good, you know. It's good to get games anyway. There was talk there that, you know, that the league mightn't go ahead, and there was, you know, they're just thinking, would, you know, a bigger championship would be better. But I definitely think, you know, you need games before the championship just to kind of get rid of the cobwebs and stuff like that. So good that the league's going ahead. We've got tough games, which is going to be good to get, like, you know. You need them good hard games as well, like, so that'll hopefully help us, you know, see where we're at, and hopefully we can improve then going into the championship. So no, good that the league is what it is. I suppose with the COVID and stuff, you know, at least we'll be staying in Ulster, like, you know, we're not going outside of that. But tough games.
Yeah, tough games indeed. We've touched on it already, and you were this boy from Locust Point, and now you're one of the mainstays, you know, on the Donegal team. And
in terms of your voice,
and number one, there's no doubt about it. I have to say that anyway. Like, having a young family now, though, Paddy, and has just your overall just view in that of football changed in terms of responsibility, in that, in terms of before maybe Donegal, the county team was number one, but that obviously transcends into family life, etc.
I suppose the beauty of it is that, you know, I'm coming to the end and I'll not be playing, you know, 10 years time, like, you know, and at least then, you know, you have something outside of football as well, like, that's, you know, more important than that. Like, so you're not going to come home someday and go, what am I going to do now? You know, you have that life outside of football. And I think that's the way to have it. Like, you know, football will always be important. You know, it has been a big part in my life, I suppose, from where I can remember, like, you know, and it's great having, you know, Isla Rose and Gracie and Stephanie at games and all your family members at games. You know, it's special, like, you know, thankfully I had a chance, you know, to go up and left the Anglo Celt on two occasions with my eldest daughter, you know, so that was a really special days there, you know, and we have photos of that, and, you know, the sun was splitting the rocks and the sunshine and everything, and, you know, there's photos there in the house of that, like, so great memories, you know, and it was great having them part of that, like, so.
I promise this is the last one. I know you've spoke about 2012 many, many times, but it was on a few times over the various lockdowns. What a game you had that day, Paddy. I was in the lower Cusick myself, wasn't working on radio at the time, and you were just in there in the corner, and we were obviously so proud of you, but you had one of your finest ever days in the green and gold on the biggest day ever in your career. How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, great looking back at them days, you know. It seems so long ago now, but yet doesn't seem that while long ago, like, you know, the years are just racing by. But it's fantastic to have them memories. That day in particular was just a big highlight that year, you know. You know, to win the Sam Maguire was massive, and that's hopefully what we would be chasing for this year, like, you know. So now it's good to look back, but you don't want to be looking at it too much either, like, you know. It's good to look forward and look to the future as well.
Leave that to us lads who just sit about the house on the couch eating takeaways. Listen, Paddy McGrath, Ardra clubman, one of the stalwarts of the Donegal team. Thank you so much for giving us your time here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
No problem, Paddy.
Okay, that's it for this week's show. The podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or online at Ocean FM Sport. Next Thursday, we will be previewing the National Football League. Bye for now, and talk next week.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Doon and All podcast.